Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We're serving up the best steaks that money can buy into the summer months with our fire pit. It's beautiful. Sit down, have a drink, and shut up.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted's of Beverly Hills bringing you this portion of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And, Ted, it's good to have you on the line with us here tonight. What a world we are living in, huh?
I got to tell you something, Phil. It has been a very interesting, and as Donald Sutherland said in the film Disturbance, or especially, what was the name of the film that Donald Sutherland was in? And it was Demi Moore. She spread her legs. You could see. Forgive me for putting it that way.
No, you're thinking of a Sharon Stone.
Was she in the one with Donald Sutherland?
No, you're thinking of the Seattle one. Jason will know. Seattle takes place in Seattle, Jason. It's Donald Sutherland, and it's Michael Douglas. And Demi Moore supposedly sexually harasses him.
You're asking your producer?
Yeah.
He's not going to know.
I can't hear you, man, when you whisper. I can't hear you.
Does this guy work in radio?
Supposedly. You got a microphone there? Say it. Disclosure? Disclosure.
No, that doesn't ring a bell. It's something else.
Well, he just looked it up.
I'm telling you, it's something else. That doesn't ring a bell. It's disturbing. It starts with a D. Durwood. I think it was called Durwood.
Durwood?
I think so. The point that I'm making, Phil, is that in that film, Donald Sutherland says, "May you live in interesting times." Okay?
Well, he's quoting a Chinese proverb.
All right, he's quoting a Chinese proverb. You and I are getting off to a rough start here tonight. I'm saying things, and you're telling me no, I'm wrong, and then I say something else, and you tell me no, I'm wrong. I'd like to be right just once.
I apologize. I thought you would want me to correct you. I believe the film is called Disclosure. I could be wrong.
Well, yeah, you're wrong. All right, and even if you're right, let's say that you're wrong because I need to roll into this interview tonight feeling like I've got some momentum. All right?
Okay, the movie's called Disturbance, and it was Sharon Stone.
No, it was Demi Moore.
Demi Moore spreading her legs.
With no underwear.
Right.
So in that movie, Donald Sutherland says, "May you live in interesting times." And that was a Chinese proverb that his character was saying said it, which is what I was going to say
before I jumped in.
Yes. So that's what we're living in right now, Phil. Interesting times. And, again, that was said by Donald Sutherland, and a Chinese guy said it first. I want to say that twice. I don't want to beat it into the ground, but I'm saying it twice because you didn't give me the opportunity to say it. Now,
What? You sound distracted.
Well, I'm looking at Greg Gutfeld on the 5 on Fox News, and he doesn't look happy. Greg is looking very serious, and I don't know, is he still doing comedy?
Yeah.
He looks very serious.
All right, let's get to what we want to talk about tonight, the stock market, the ups, the downs, the roller coaster ride. You've had your money in stocks and bonds.
That's right.
You've had your retirement, I should say. Do you have any walking around money in the stock market?
No, I don't, Phil. It is my retirement. Of course, people are always saying, you know, for your retirement money, this is something that you're going to be living on. It's something that you are going to, you and Marcy and, you know, your son Josh. Josh is going to be on his own. But this is money that Marcy and I are going to be using. And why would you have it in the stock market? And for the very reason that the stock market is a good long haul, long projected, long sell, vehicle, if you will. But what I did just before all of the you-know-what hit the fan last week, and I think on Friday we had the big 600-pointer, and yesterday we had the 500-and-something. Or actually,
Friday was like 513 or something. And
yeah, Friday was 5-something, and yesterday was 6-something, and then today it bounded back. Well, what I did on Thursday, and I can't tell you why, but I can tell you that I've done this many times. It's the way maybe it's why I'm successful. On the Thursday before the big sell-off on Friday, I had an inkling that something was wrong. I had an inkling that something was wrong because they'd announced that the United States had had its credit downgraded and the stock market had not yet reacted. Not really, you know. And they announced that, in fact, part of the way through the day on Thursday, and they did nothing. They still had time to sell off things. They didn't. So I said, this is a lie. People are lying to themselves. So I went out, and I picked up, I dropped about 20,000 more on gold. Now, you got to understand that I've had gold now since the late 1990s. I have seen it go from $350 an ounce to today. Let me just look here. It added $13,000. So today it added another $13 an ounce, and I had already picked up another 20,000 on Thursday, okay? And that represents 20,000, 15, and 5. 2 goes into 2 times 3. That's about 10 ounces, all right, times 13. So I made 130 grand.
Wow.
Between last Thursday and today. Now, that's just who I am, all right? That's who I am. Why am I saying that? Because I got an awful lot of pushback, and I got some people calling me today and saying some things that I didn't think were very fair. They basically said that I was lording it over them, that I was walking around and thinking that I was this and that, my you-know-what didn't spell, and that I was being very arrogant.
And well, Ted, be honest, and I think you know this, you can be very arrogant at times.
No, I know that. I know that, but not this time. This time, I was right. Okay? Now, a guy that is arrogant, a guy that is talking like he owns the world, like he was that, who was that bum? Everybody hated his guts. The guy that made Titanic, but then he ruined the whole thing by saying, I'm the king of the world.
James Cameron.
Yeah. Now, a bum like that makes all that money on a movie and then says, I'm the king of the world. All you want to do is knock his teeth down his throat. But for me, when I say that I'm right, I say it for a reason. You don't have the right to hate me. Yes, you have the right to compete against me, but you do. I will not give you the right to hate me. No, that much you don't have.
And what are you talking about here, man? Okay, you made a killing in the stock market. You made a killing.
I didn't make a killing in the stock market. I made a killing on gold. Gold. You know what that is, right?
Yes, I know what gold is. It is the number one shelter that people seem to think is going to last. Gold is a fine investment as a retirement tool. It's no better than the stock market because in order for what are you going to do with your gold, Ted? You got to, what you're betting on is.
Whoa, hold on, Fred. Are you lecturing me? I'm the guy who owns the restaurant. I'm the guy who has the home in Beverly Hills. I'm the guy who is the president of the Beverly Hills Automobile Association. I'm the guy that breaks bread with Harrison Ford. I'm the guy that breaks bread with Brad Pitt. You understand?
I understand. May I make a point?
Go ahead.
Gold is only good, really, of any real value if the economy is heading south. So every other thing that we hold on to and that we trust in and that we value in this society, if all of that is ready to go over the edge of the cliff, that's why people have gold. Well, it's fine. But for all of your gold, you're going to be holding on to something of great value in a wasteland. And I say that when you put your money into gold as the primary, if you will, stopgap, or your family, or your own personal primary reserve of security, what's it going to secure you against? What are you going to do? You going to buy an army or something to protect your compound against the war wagon of the Mad Maxes?
Phil, you don't get it. I made what are you talking about? I made 130 grand. Okay.
All right. So, but you can't get that back now. How are you going to sell that gold now? You know, are you going to turn around and sell that gold?
You better better believe it, because if there's a monkey like me, excuse my language, because I heard your friend Lloyd Bonafide in talking a disparaging way about human beings that don't act all that bright, if there's a monkey like me that bought the gold on Thursday, there's going to be a monkey like me that buys it next Thursday. And guess who makes the money? I do.
Well,
I do. Me. Ted Bell. Now, gold futures rose $16 to $17.93 an ounce, within sight of Tuesday's record of $17.82 an ounce.
Oh, ho, ho, ho! So,
what do you mean, oh, ho, ho, ho? What does that mean?
It means that the price is not stable. It's going up and down a little bit, right?
It's down 30 cents. God. Tracking strong global price, most active gold contract in the Tokyo Commodity Exchange. Now, I just went out and bought me a bunch of American Eagles. And I have to tell you, if I really subscribe to the Charlie Sheen philosophy, I'd say the following thing. Winning! Okay? Did you hear that one, huh? You know about Sheen, right?
Oh, no, I don't know about Sheen.
Well, what? Oh, you're being smart-ass.
Yes. Have I heard about Sheen? Of course I have.
Winning! Huh? I like that. I like that a lot.
Boy, his timing. All right, Ted Bell is joining us here on the Phil Henry Show as we talk. Yeah, I know I put him on hold. Just as we talk about the economy and what Ted is investing in, and that is gold. And he went out and made himself $130,000 on the gold that he bought on Thursday. He says it's worth another $130,000 today. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Every night we have a floor show, a floor show of people falling on the floor. Well, that's a joke. We don't do that.
Here I
place. Come on down and have a drink. I've had a couple of pops tonight, Phil.
Well, that's not a very good plug for the restaurant.
I think people know that I'm kidding.
Well, Ted Bell is joining us here. People on the floor, huh?
Well, you know, we got a little rowdy in the prime rib room. There's no question about that. But I got to tell you, Phil, I've had a wonderful, wonderful couple of days. And my life, Phil, has not been an easy one. I don't think a lot of people have probably not had easy lives, but my life has not been an easy one because I had a father, as you know, who just about ran this restaurant right into the ground. I had to pick up my grieving mother and bury my father and somehow try to get this business back on a paying basis, and I did it. I did it. Ted Bell. Not Ray Bell, who was my father. Not Jack Bell, who was my grandfather. I did it, Ted Bell, me. And I did it with a combination of a lot of things, but the number one thing that I used to bring this restaurant back to the status that it had at one time as one of the top steakhouses on the West Coast is I had guts. And the guts that I had are the kind of guts that I had on Thursday. So if you could say to me, what kind of guts...
Can I just jump in here?
No. Oh, my God, I'm talking.
Right.
What's the problem?
Nothing. I wanted to ask you a question, that's all.
Well, what's your question?
Well, I thought maybe we had more of a conversation. It sounded like you were going to give a speech.
I'm not giving a... I want to finish a sentence. Is that all right? See, Phil, I'm not used to... I'm putting money into your show as a sponsor.
Yes, sir.
So let me say what I've got to say, that you get to say what you want to say. But what I am saying, what it took to build this restaurant was guts. That's what I've got. That's what it took last Thursday when I said to my wife, I said to Marcia, you know what, today's the day. I go in and I buy another 20,000 of the American Eagles because I just think by next Tuesday I could probably pick up I could make a net profit of maybe 100%. Or not 100%. I was going to make a net profit of 500%. And guess what I did? All right? Seville, it's called gold. And do you know what gold is?
I think I do, yeah.
You think you do, but do you? That's my question for you. You think you do, but do you? Do you?
I believe I do know what gold is.
What is it?
Well, I know that it's a precious metal.
No, it is. It's a yellow precious metal, okay?
That's what I said.
No, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. If you got it wrong, you got it wrong. It's a yellow precious metal. It's not a precious metal. It's a yellow precious metal. The chemical element of atomic number 79, valued especially for use in jewelry and decoration, and to guarantee the value of currency. There it is right there.
Well,
guarantee the value of currencies. Now, that's what I've got. You're asking me a lot of questions about whether or not Mad Max is going to take over. I've got gold, and when I was going from table to table today in the prime rib room, and also one other thing, gold is corrosion resistant. Do you know that?
I think I did know that.
No, you didn't know that. You didn't know that at all. You didn't know that at all because I led you with that question.
I think I did know that. Yes, I did.
Well, I don't think you did, but in any event, I talked to people, and I said, how are you doing? You know, that Bill Parr came in and his wife, Jerry, and I saw Frank and Margaret Gray, and I said, how are you? Great. Everybody came in for the lunch, and I said, I bought gold. I said, I made about 130 grand on my gold, and, you know, Frank looked at me, and I said, I own gold. See, I'm Ted Bell, gold. I said, I bet you people here have money in your pocket. I bet you got folding money. That's fine. But you know, that folding money, you might as well go into the bathroom there. And I don't mean to be crude, but why don't you wipe with it for all the good it's going to do you?
And why did you say that?
It's paper money. It's running out of value as we speak. As we speak. The paper money of the world, not just American currency, of the world, is running out of value with each passing second of the day. Can I just jump in? Michelle Bachmann looks like a piece of ass.
Will you watch your language, please?
What are you talking about?
You're talking about gold, and we're talking about this and that and everything. Now you're telling me about Michelle Bachmann.
Have you seen this video of her?
I don't care if I've seen the video of her. What are you talking about, the Newsweek?
I'm talking about the video of her. Newsweek.
No, I didn't see it. I thought the Newsweek cover was a real cheap shot.
Well, I agree with you.
I thought it was a very cheap shot. I think it's easy to put a photograph of somebody on the cover of a magazine and make them look lousy. And I thought that it was just a cheap shot. But no, I did not see the video of her.
Well, she looks good. She looks good. And that's the point that I'm trying to make to all of you. She does look good. So getting back to what I was saying.
This is really boring, man.
I beg your pardon?
It's really dull, you talking about your gold.
Well, let me tell you something, my friend. My gold, you know, for you to say something like that to me, the gold that I purchased is a hedge against the economy falling apart, okay? It's a hedge against the economy falling into disrepair. So I'm buying this gold so that I am able, along with my family, other members of my family, so that something like this doesn't happen someday, maybe to a friend of mine, maybe not to a friend of mine. Listen to this, because this did happen to someone I read about. Yeah, you heard that, right?
I heard a baby, and what was that?
A blender. All right?
You had no right.
I had no right? You're sitting there calling me boring. You call me boring? You might as well shove a baby into a blender.
What do you mean that happened to someone?
It didn't. I was saying that to make a point. You, laughing at me, or saying that I'm boring, you might as well be doing this. All right? So, hello.
All right, you know, put this maniac on hold, will you please? I don't give a damn if he is a sponsor. I bought gold. I'm this. I'm that. I'm something else. You're not listening to me. You might as well put a baby in a blender. Well, you turn that off, bud.
That's what he said.
I heard what he said. All right, we're going to get into a little bit more about the economy. I don't know whether we're going to actually get into the economy or not with Ted Bell, because he sounds to me like he said he's had a couple of pops.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's drunk, because he's all over the place tonight. Nonetheless, we did see a gold market that, well, if you own gold, I guess it's a good one, because it did go up to 17 and change. I say 17 and change, $1,700 and change an ounce. And apparently Ted Bell made his money on the American Gold Eagle bullion coins. All right, we'll be back with Ted Bell here. More on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. In this next segment, we're going to be talking about something that I think you're all going to find interesting. Come on down to Ted's. You'll see it firsthand.
Here at Ted's.
Gold.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
So I know you want to talk about something. We've been pursuing the topic of gold here this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Ted Bell with us, our sponsor this hour on the Phil Henry Show from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now then, let's talk about the restaurant.
Right.
And let's talk about the investment you made. Now, your restaurant is a successful restaurant, Ted. I know, because you've got, how many restaurants do you have?
We have the Washington, we got the one in Georgetown. Actually, no, we have the Ted's of Beverly Hills, the capital. That's in Washington, D.C., and we went through hell. And I'm telling you, we went through living hell, because, you know, we opened the doors at Ted's of Beverly Hills the very week that the D.C. sniper was causing such havoc.
I remember that, yeah.
And you want to know something? Nobody, and I mean nobody, tells me when I open my restaurant and when I don't. We opened that restaurant right smack dab in the middle of the highest body count. I'm not proud of that.
Well, you're not proud of that, but you keep bringing it up.
I don't keep bringing it up.
You say that, I remember you've said that a million times about how you opened a restaurant in Washington. I mean, I'm sorry, Ted. I opened a restaurant in Washington on the day of the highest body count.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, I'm proud of it. You don't think, what are you trying to tell me, that some serial murderer is going to back me off? Is that what you're telling me?
No, but I would think that in the interest of safety for your customers.
Hey. My customers, I don't hold by the hand and wipe their rear ends and blow their noses. They're adults. They know what they're doing. I'm telling you that no serial murderer backs me off. And we opened the doors of that place, Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we've been there ever since. Now we've got Honolulu, and we, of course, have the Miami Beach, and that's the
four.
No, it's not four. You know how to count? One, two, three. Yeah, it's four.
That's what I said.
Well, we've got, what's the other one, Marcy? Oh, yeah, the one in Walnut Creek closed.
So you had, of the five that you started, four were successful.
Of the five that we started, we decided to keep four. And the fifth one, we just left. So, no, I wouldn't say it was unsuccessful.
Well, what do you mean you just left it?
We left it there. In other words, we packed everything up and I just left the building empty. And we left it for squatters. And
did you own the building?
Yes.
So, in other words, you didn't, why did you just leave it?
Because I didn't want to go up there anymore. I was bored. So we essentially had the moving vans come in, we packed up everything, we put it in the truck, and we left.
And you left a building that you own?
We abandoned it. Do you know what abandoning a building is?
Yes. So in other words, was it paid for?
Yeah.
And you went ahead and abandoned it?
Yes. Phil, I invest in gold. And
well, I don't know how much money you've got that you can just abandon a building. What was the real estate worth?
Well, now you're getting into questions that are none of your business, if you want the honest opinion. It's none of your business, but I'm telling you, okay? The Walnut Creek restaurant was of so little interest to me that we packed everything up. I got in the truck. I waved goodbye to an empty building. There wasn't anybody to wave goodbye to, but I just went goodbye and took off. And I was the last one to leave. I remember all of the crew and most of the people had already left and the vans had left with all the equipment. And I was in a one-ton, and I took off, and I waved to no one in particular and took off. And I left the building there, and I remember as we were leaving, there was an old guy. He looked like he might be homeless, so I came up to him. I said, "You got a place to stay tonight?" He said, "No." I said, "Break into that building."
You're kidding me.
No. Why would I kid you?
I don't understand why a guy would do that. You own a building. You've paid for the building.
Yeah. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever taken the wrapper off a hamburger and thrown it into a garbage can?
Yeah.
Okay.
So in other words, what you see as the wrapper to a hamburger that is thrown in the garbage can could be a piece of real estate.
When you say a piece of real estate, it was a play. It had value only to me if I wanted to have a restaurant there. I didn't, so I said goodbye to it. And I said to the, "You move, I don't give a damn what happens to you." And that was it. I abandoned it.
877-876-PHIL. You know, I don't know whether to believe a lot of these stories that you tell me. I do know that you're a man of means.
Look, Phil, I'm not fooling around here. I'm telling you the truth. And what I do is an extremely... I play a high-stakes game. There's no question about it. But I've got gold, and this is why I can do these things. And this is what you don't get, and this is what I don't think your audience understands. When I say that I bought a building, and then I got bored with the restaurant business in the Bay Area, because, frankly, the only place to really own a restaurant is in San Francisco, and it's a little congested right now with restaurants, especially steakhouses.
And so that was you originally wanted to have it in the city?
I had an idea that I wanted to have it up on Knob Hill, or maybe I wanted to have it in the marina, something like that. But then I said, well, let's try Walnut Creek, and I just, you know, this bores me to tears. So we abandoned the building. Now, why can I do that? I'll tell you why. It's a little thing called gold. And I can put it a lot of different ways, Phil. 93KHJ, gold, you remember that, right? Or oldies but goldies, that kind of deal. There's a lot of different things that you can say about gold. In our, you know, there's gold in them, there are hills. But the fact is that gold is what I is, not what I is, but I am, I is what gold is.
Gold is what you are.
Gold is, I don't have gold fever, but I've got gold. And I've got a lot of it, and it's very valuable.
Well,
you know what really makes me angry is you go, well, let me tell you something. Do you have any plates or anything in your kitchen made of gold?
No, I don't.
I do. At my restaurant. I've got so much gold that I have taken to having golden serving trays made. And I know this is going to sound crazy to you, but I actually have golden patio furniture. And we have been kicking around the idea of a golden, some kind of a golden edifice for the restaurant or for my home that's me. You know, in other words, a gold statue.
And boy, I mean, I almost want to laugh thinking it almost sounds like idolatry.
Yeah, you know why? Because it's gold. You would never say that. If it was made out of marble, you'd say, oh, it's a normal thing. But because it's gold, it sounds religious. Why? Because it's gold. So I have these golden serving trays, and I had a couple of the kids, Ruben and Mario. These guys were serving from them. They were serving just the water and putting down the breadsticks, that kind of a deal.
Right.
And they took these golden serving trays and over to a table, and it was the Brockhursts. They're a very prominent Beverly Hills family, and I wanted to impress them. I don't like them. I don't like them as far as I can throw them, but they're very impressive people. They got a lot of money, and they eat in my restaurant.
And by you coming on the air and saying you don't like them, you don't think that's going to get out to them?
You know something? Let me worry about that, okay? Because I can always tell them that whoever told them is a liar. So
you would say if they came to you...
Can I finish?
No, I want to know this. If they came to you and they said that they heard that you said on the radio that you don't like them, you'd say what?
I'd say whoever you heard that from is a bald-faced liar. And they believe me. Now, here's what I want to say. Mario and the other kid, Ruben, they take the breadsticks and they take over all the stuff you take over, the water, on these golden trays. And you want to know something? And this was a beautiful moment for me. Do you want to know that these people, the Brockhursts, are such blank trash that they didn't even recognize it was gold?
And, well, maybe they did.
No. If they did, they would have said something to me. That's the kind of mountain trash they come from. So, you know, you can take the boy off the top of the... You can take the boy off of Smokey Top, but you can't take Smokey Top out of the boy.
And who's Smokey Top?
A friend of his. Now, anyway...
Okay, look at... What we're trying to talk about...
No, what we're talking about here, Phil, is real wealth.
Well, you've got a golden statue that you're making of yourself.
I didn't say a... I said an edifice. An edifice. This is something people can't understand. I've got a gold... I've already commissioned an artist to make a golden edifice of myself and Marcy and our son Josh and a very beloved dog of ours, Gretchen the Shepherd. There's going to be the four of us as a gold statue in front of the house.
And you don't find that gaudy or loud or almost...
Oh, no, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say or almost Saudi Arabian. Well, you're not going to drag me into that racist diatribe, Mr. Henry.
No, I wasn't going to say that at all.
Well, those are the ones who would do it. And that's the thing, and one of the reasons why I'm doing it, more than anything else, is to make them angry the next time they move in, because I don't have a racial problem. You know I don't have a racial problem. But you also know that as a proud member of the Beverly Hills community, I personally don't like to see Saudi Arabians move in here and mess up the architecture and the landscaping with their asinine-looking statues. And
so you're going to put a golden statue of yourself out in front of your house?
I'm an American, okay? An American.
Well, you want to know something? You may be an American, and you can put anything you want out in front of your house, but if you think that taking gold and turning it into serving trays and...
We've got a, you know, this golden toilet thing?
Hold on. You know, statues. It's unbelievable.
No, wait just a minute. I've got gold in my home. We've made gold plates. We've got golden figurines. I have golden patio furniture. I've got a golden bathroom scale. I've got gold framing on the shower doors and the windows in the bathroom. I've got golden framing on the sliders in the den. Do you understand what I got? And not one person has had the guts or the common decency to say, I'm blown away by that. I have made gold. I've got gold handles on my garage door.
And no, you, Ted, either people don't know it's gold.
Oh, come on.
Or they just are not, they don't care. You know,
how can you not care? How can you not care? I went out, I bought 20. I've got a gold statue of myself.
I don't know.
I've got a gold. Who's got a gold statue of themselves? Is there a gold statue in Washington of Lincoln, Jefferson, Washington? No. Is there a gold statue anywhere?
Maybe in Egypt?
Maybe in Egypt. Give the man a cigar. Maybe in Egypt. And you got to go back 3,000 years. So for the first time in thousands of years, a man has erected a golden statue of himself, and no one cares. I'm out. I'm out. I don't want to talk to him.
Come on, Ted.
No, I'm done. Play it.
What?
Play it! Let me tell you something else. Let me tell you. Turn it off! Turn it off! Turn it off! Let me tell you something else.
All right.
I bought myself a Softail, Harley Softail. I'm going to have the frame made in gold. I'm going to ride down the road, and you think any of that mountain trash is going to recognize? How's that?
Put our meat in your mouth.
Who said that?
Put him on hold because he's losing it. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Ted Bell
Radio
has a gold statue of
Patriots,
himself in front of his house.
Hi, Patriots. It's the
That's
Phil
right.
Henry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down, and I'd like to show you something, because obviously what Mr. Henry and I have been talking about, and I appreciate Phil Henry, I really do, but I've got to show him something. I hope you will come down, too. What we've been discussing, I certainly would like you to come down to Ted's Beverly Hills. I thought you were going to show that lady.
I'm going to show the lady in the next hour, Ted. I don't have the time right now. We're talking with Ted Bell.
Well, I am sponsoring this hour.
You can be sponsoring this hour. I'm not going to show the Hackney lady until next hour. And I won't show it on the air because she's cursing.
She's doing what?
She's using four-letter words.
Oh, you're going to show it on the video?
I'll show it on the video when we're not on the air so I don't get fined by the FCC.
Okay. God, what an ass. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's too bad. So what did you want to say?
What I wanted to say, my friend, and your audience obviously doesn't understand. They don't know what gold is. I don't even know why I'm wasting my time coming on your program of all shows to talk about gold. Most people don't even get it. I'd have to go on a show. Maybe I'd go on that financial deal, that guy, that Bruce Williams. What's that guy do?
I don't know. I mean, you're talking about going on a financial show to talk about gold?
Yeah, people would know something about gold. Because I'm wasting my time here. And I was going to say, but I will say one thing that I think your audience could relate to. I have now been talking to a dentist here in Los Angeles, and I have been working with him on a design, and I am going to show it to Big Boy, the morning disc jockey at Power 106, because I have worked on a golden design for a what the kids call a grill or gold braces.
You're going to put gold grill in your mouth.
That's right. That's right, because apparently people don't understand what gold is until you go, there, you see it?
What has it got to do with Big Boy?
I'm going to have Big Boy Power 106 as part of the gold grill. Now you may...
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. What do you want me to have Phil Henry?
No, I don't want you to have... Why Big Boy?
Obviously, it is an homage. It is homage to Big Boy and his audience. I'm going to have the gold grill and a couple of gold cap teeth. Now, this is not some racial thing like you think it is. This is a statement to people around me. You see, I've got gold. Because, Phil, I have tried with gold serving trays. I've tried it with a golden statue. I've tried it with gold handles and gold toilet accessories and gold fixtures in my bathroom. I haven't gone the gold toilet route because I won't sink that low. That's something that the Saudi Arabians and the Kuwaitis do. I won't sink to that level. All right?
Oh, you won't sink to that level, but you got to put a gold grill in your mouth that says Big Boy Power 106.
Oh, what a racist. So in other words, that's worse.
Why am I a racist? Say that again.
You're saying that Big Boy Power 106 in my mouth is somehow...
Would you say it in a different way?
Oh, I mean, well, you know what I mean. It's your mind that's in the sewer.
No, just say you having the gold grill in your mouth.
All right. Me having a gold grill in my mouth and not big... Well, okay, not Big Boy. Well, I shouldn't say that. But
you not having the gold grill in your mouth is somehow... I don't know what we were saying.
Right. You were saying that me having that gold grill in my mouth is somehow worse than me having gold toilets. And I'm telling you, it's better. I'm telling you that it is classier than me having gold toilets like the Saudis and the Kuwaitis. I would much rather have golden teeth. I'd much rather have two big, shiny gold teeth and that whole love-hate thing on my right, my left hand with a tattoo of Godzilla on my chest than ever... have a gold toilet in my bathroom.
All right, Ted. Ted?
Go on.
Wow, man. All right, so Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is making a statement there of a sort, saying that he would never, ever, ever put gold toilet. Now, this is a guy that has a lot of... Is he back now?
Yeah.
Ted?
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. We suddenly lost the line.
Hang up on me, did you?
No, I didn't hang up on you. We suddenly lost the line.
All right, well, did you get the last part?
Yeah, you'll never have a...
I will never have a gold toilet. I would much rather have...
You'd much rather have a gold grill across your teeth that says Power 106, Big Boy, or whatever. Two big gold teeth and you said a tattoo of Godzilla on your chest?
Yeah. Much rather do that than do anything that the Saudis or the Kuwaitis would do, and that starts with gold toilets. Now... Phil, I've been around people my whole life who've had some really lousy taste in furnishings, clothing, cars, and houses. I've been around a lot of money, and I've been around a lot of people that never should have had a lot of money because what they spend their money on You don't know whether it belongs in a circus, in a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum. You don't know whether it should be worn by people from another world. But you damn sure don't think any human that you know should own it. And yet, there it is. I've been around gold toilets. I've been around gold slippers. I've been around gold sheets. I have seen everything you can make gold out of. Gold underwear. You ever seen that?
No.
Gold, well, I don't want to get into it. Panties. And
before you were married, I guess.
Oh, of course. But I will stop at the gold toilet. So that's why I'm having the teeth made up of gold, and that's why I am doing what I'm doing. You know, because I just think that it's important. I don't think it's anything you mess around with. And to that end, I am a. What are you doing?
I don't think me.
You're doing what?
I don't think.
Well, no, you don't get to. Oh, look at him. What made you think that you could do that?
Ted.
Hold on. What made you think you could do that?
I'm your best friend.
He's picking the keys. Now, this is Reuben. Come here. Reuben was picking the keys up to my car, Phil.
Yeah?
You know why? Because I've got gold teeth. He thinks I'm down. He thinks he can just pick my car up. It's what he was doing. Because I got gold teeth? Oh, baby. No, you don't get to take the car. Because I got gold teeth. He thought that it was all right to use my car. Well, these are coming out in the morning. Even if I have... Where are those pliers?
You're going to pull out your own teeth?
Even if I've got to pull them out myself, yes.
All right. Thanks, Ted.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Phil Hendry.
Wow.